Our scripture lesson is coming from Acts, the second chapter, verses 1 through 8, 37 through 41. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound came from heaven, like the rush of a mighty wind. It filled all the houses where they were sitting, and there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwellings in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language?" Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all that are far off, and everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other words and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received the word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable unto you. O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say, amen. There were two friends, Paul and William, who wanted to be more Christ-like. And so they decided that they would hold each other accountable. They would set goals and pray for each other. Paul's goal was that he would start swearing less. And so he came up with the idea that on Sunday, he would put in $5 in the church offering plate for every time that he cursed during the week. Well, that first week, it cost him $100. And he said, "This is too painful." On this Pentecost Sunday, we're beginning a new sermon series, and we're calling it Why? We're looking at why we go through tough things. I've heard it said that people hate pain and that they'll go through all kinds of things to avoid pain. But I've got a little bit of a different opinion. I don't think it's that people hate pain. They just hate pain when there's no reason attached to it. In other words, they hate pain without a purpose. Like when there's a car accident. Like when someone loses their job because of COVID-19. And we're crying out, "Where are you, God? Why is this going to happen to me?" But then there's the flip side. On the flip side, I want to say that people can endure a whole lot of pain. Some of you might not believe me, so I'm going to give you a couple of examples. Some people will pay good money to be stuck hundreds of times by a needle. Why? Because they want a nice tattoo, right? Some people will pay good money to get heat exhaustion, cramps all over their body, end up throwing up on the street. Why? Because they want to run a marathon and they want that sense of completion and crossing the finish line. And women will endure childbirth. I can remember once I heard my wife say to somebody, I loved being pregnant and I loved giving birth. You could have knocked me over when I heard that. Because I remember being at the hospital with her when she was yelling and screaming. I remember saying to my wife, honey, just breathe. My wife looked me in the face and said, you don't have the right to breathe. And yet she endured childbirth not once, but three times. And she endured it because she knew that pain was part of the process in bringing forth the baby. See, we can endure a lot of pain when we know that there's a purpose. There's a scripture lesson that I often have difficulty with. It's Luke 22, verse 31. And here's what it says. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has asked to have you that he might sift you like wheat. Jesus is talking to Peter, whose name was Simon, and he's saying that the devil wants permission to attack you, to have you, to hurt you. And Jesus could go on to say, Peter, you're going to fail miserably. Peter, you're going to be embarrassed. Peter, this is going to be the darkest moment of your life. Jesus tells Simon, the devil has asked to have you, to sift you like wheat. And then he goes on to say, but I have prayed for you that your faith might not fail. And this is the part that's tough for me. Because if I'm Simon, I'm like, Jesus, it's great you're going to pray for me, but why don't you just tell Satan no? Why don't you just put that hedge of protection around me? Why don't you just tell him to get lost? I don't want to go through the pain. Jesus didn't cause it, but Jesus does allow it. And in the pain, he's saying, I'll be praying for you. And for us, it feels like pain without a purpose. That's where some of us are right now. There's a mother who's just lost her second child to drug addiction, and she's crying, why? There's a grandmother who's on a ventilator in the hospital, and her family can't come to see her, and they're crying out, why? There's a police officer who knelt down on the neck of a black suspect who cried out over and over again, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. And we cry out, why? And in the midst of our crying, we're wondering, God, do you hear us? And God, where are you? Because there are times when it feels like we're going through pain without a purpose. And yet when we go through times like that, when the devil is attacking us, when it feels like we're being tested, I've got an important word for us, and that's this, is that sometimes God's preparations come packaged in pain. Sometimes God's preparations come packaged in pain. In other words, God does have a purpose in the midst of your pain. And that first, God might be working something in you before God works something through you. That's what happened with Simon Peter. The devil comes after Peter to sift him like wheat. I'm a city boy. I didn't grow up on the farm, but I did jump on YouTube to see what it was like to sift wheat. And I want to tell you, it's not a gentle process. It's a rough, it's a violent process. They take that wheat and they thrash it and they beat it. And it's not easy, it's not gentle, and it makes a mess. Well, in this shifting that Peter goes through, there is a huge mess that's made in his life. Let me just highlight some of the big ones. There's a time in which Jesus says to the disciples, I'm going to die. I'm going to be killed. And on the third day, God will raise me. And Peter says, no. And Jesus says, I must. This is my purpose. This is why I was sent here. And Peter said, I will not allow it. And Jesus says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Now, can I tell you something? Anytime that Jesus calls you Satan, you know you done messed up, right? There's another time when Jesus is wrestling with this call to the cross, and he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Peter is there with the other disciples, and Jesus says, I want you to just stay awake and pray with me. Jesus goes off to a secluded area, and he prays a while, and he comes back, and he finds Peter and the other disciples, and what are they doing? They're asleep, right? Peter wakes them up and says, can you not stay awake for me but for an hour? But please pray for me. He goes off again, and he comes back, and there Peter is again snoring. And I can imagine Jesus saying to Peter, you had one job, okay? You just had one job, and you can't get it right. And then there's the big one. Jesus is predicting his death again, and Peter is saying that I will never leave you, Jesus. I'll never allow it to happen. And Jesus says, you know what, Peter? Here's what's going to happen. You will deny that you even know me three times before the rooster crows. And Peter says, it'll never happen. I'll never do that. The others might deny you, Lord, but I never will. And they come and they arrest Jesus. Peter follows at a distance. And Peter is asked three times if he knows Jesus. Nope, don't know him. Nope. The third time it's by a little servant girl. She says, aren't you one of his disciples? And he's so scared that he even swears and curses. No, I swear to God, I do not know the man. And right at that moment, the rooster crows. The scripture says that Jesus turns and looks at Peter. Peter remembers the words of Jesus, and it says that he ran off and wept bitterly. As he's running and as he's crying, I can hear Peter shouting, why? 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 In the darkest moment of Peter's entire life. It's dark because of the shame. It's dark because of the tears. And it's dark because of the pain that he's experiencing. And yet, in the moment of Peter's darkest night, there is a flicker of hope. And that flicker begins to grow. And here's how Paul describes it. It says in Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. I like that part that says, and we know that in all things. That means in our heartaches and in our pain. It means in the decisions that we're proud of and the decisions that we are most ashamed of. God can work it for good. For those who love him and are called according to his what? Purpose. Did you catch that? According to his purpose. God is working according to his purpose, not according to your pain. Can I tell you something? Pain is temporary. Pain will pass. I had a tennis coach that used to say that pain is the cost of victory. But I like the way it said in James 1, verses 2 and 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Church, there's purpose even in the midst of your pain. It's not just by accident. It's not just the way things go. It's not just tough breaks or bad luck. God didn't cause it, but God can certainly use it. Let me remind you of our scripture. It says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has asked to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail." And then catch this part. This is how it ends. "And when you have turned again, strengthen your brethren." I hope you heard that, because that's a powerful word in and of itself. Jesus is saying, "I'm praying for you. And the very thing that the enemy tried to use to hurt you, I will use to strengthen you. You will turn back again. And when you do, you're going to be different than you were before. You're going to be stronger, and you're going to use that to help your brothers and your sisters." There is a purpose even in the midst of our pain. And here's that purpose. On the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, on the day of Pentecost, the day that we're celebrating right here and now, the disciples were gathered together in a room, and there was a sound like a rushing wind, and flames like tongues of fire rested on each of the heads of the disciples, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And each of them were able to speak. And when they did, others, even from different languages, were able to hear in their own tongues. Well, someone that day got up and preached the message. Who was it? Who would God use to preach a message about the power of the resurrection and the power of forgiveness on that first day of Pentecost? Who would God use? Who was it that could speak a godly message that day? Certainly, it wasn't the guy that Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Who was it that could be powerful enough to preach it that day? Certainly not the guy who couldn't even stay awake. Who had the guts to preach to the multitude that day? Certainly not the guy who was so scared that he cursed even in front of the servant girl. Yep. It was that same guy, Simon Peter. That's who God used. That's who God told to preach his message. The Holy Spirit and the pain that he endured were part of the process that God used toward the purpose that Peter would complete. Peter preaches the message, and 3,000 people gave their life to Jesus and became disciples on that day. So when Peter is preaching the message about repent, he's not just saying words. He's talking from a person who knows the power of forgiveness. Can I tell you something? Don't ignore your pain. Don't hide your pain. Don't try to act like it never happened. Instead, give it to God and let God work in you and through you. There were two guys. Their names were Paul and William. They were trying to be more Christ-like. They were going to hold each other accountable. They set goals and prayed for each other. And Paul's goal was to curse less. And so he decided that he was going to give $5 to the church on Sunday for every time that he cursed during the week. That first week cost him $100. And he said, "This is costing me too much." Well, the second week was hardly any better. When the third week rolled around, his friend William said, "You know what? Next week we're going to try something different." The next week rolled around, and William said, "Remember I said we're going to try something different? Well, it's called grace." William pulls out his checkbook, and he writes a check to the church, but he leaves the amount blank. He gives it to Paul and he says, "Write down the amount that you owe." You see, this week, it's still going to cost but it's going to cost me instead of you. And he said, next week, there'll be even more grace. Well, that week, William's grace cost him $85. The week after that, William's grace cost $20. In the third week, William's grace cost nothing at all. See, Paul got to the point where he couldn't stand to see his friend, William, suffer pain for no reason. And so he decided that he was going to stop cursing. I believe that God can use all things. I'd use the power of the Holy Spirit to convict us and to show us his grace. And here's his grace. On the cross, Jesus endured a pain that he did not owe because we owed a price that we could not pay. Amen. Amen.